ਕਰ ਮੈਂ ਬਥੇਰੇ ਵੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰੀ ਵਾਖਿਆ, ਮਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਅੰਬਰ ਸਰ ਤੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰੀ ਵਾਖਿਆ।
All right, we're back. Another episode, Folk and Funky Podcast, the usuals. The boys are here, but this time we got someone really special. We got her before she gets too popular. Otherwise, she's going to go there, and we ain't never going to see her again. So, Jupji Sandhu from Dallas, Texas.
Very nice, yes. Welcome.
And we're all big fans. Yeah. Love what you're doing.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, yeah, our pod, you fit the narrative of our pod. We want to promote any Punjabi music, and especially up and coming. And to us, you're pretty much already there. I think to the world, you're going to get to the next level very soon if you keep up what you're doing. So, yeah, tell us a little bit how you got into your singing and what you're up to. I mean, we know the projects you've done with, you know, elevating yourself in the mainstream. So tell us how you got into singing or tell them, because I kind of know.
Yeah.
And tell us how it's going, what you're working on.
Okay. Honestly, I've been singing my whole life. Like, I don't remember a time where, like, I didn't sing, you know. I grew up singing. My whole family sings. I grew up doing Shabbats at the Gurdwara. I was classically trained by my gramps, my dadaji. That's why, like, folk is just, like,
do you have a memory of, like, when
I
you started?
The oldest memory that I have of me, like, singing is maybe, like, 3-4 years old, sitting on stage, and my grandpa would always put me in the front. Like, he'd be like, "Tu agge jaake," like, you know, you do it, and everybody else
he saw
follow.
The potential.
Yeah,
from
I mean,
early
he
age.
Was just like, he's just so, you know, apni kuriya, this and that. But yeah, like 3 or 4 years old, I would be singing, and then I truthfully, I actually grew up singing like a lot of American music. Like, I didn't even tap into like Punjabi music or knew what was like up and coming until I was maybe like halfway through middle school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so I grew up singing like Beyonce and like
that's
Alicia
badass.
Keys and like Whitney Houston. And
the
like,
real ones,
the,
especially Whitney.
The art and the art, and like I would practice their runs, and like, so that's why I feel like Vaad Thodi Rejgi, you know?
Yeah.
And my parents would make me, like, me and my cousins would all, like, do performances for my family. So that's kind of how I, like, singing has always been there. But then I tapped into, like, social media. Then I started making, like, covers. My grandpa bought me this, like, grand piano. I don't know if, like, I've been making covers since I was, like, 15, 16 years old. And I started off, like, putting my phone down on this, like, huge grand piano. I don't even think it was tuned properly. I think he got it like he was just like, there's this sale on this like grand piano at a garage sale. He was like, do you want it? And I was like, yes. Sick. Fuck yeah. I was like, bring it over. It's huge. And I was like really into instruments and too. I mean, I still am, but so he brought it over. It wasn't even tuned properly, but I started playing it. And then I don't remember who it was. I think one of my best friends was like, you should post this on like Twitter. Yeah. I started off doing it on Twitter, not even Instagram. And so I started making like these cover videos of American music first. Okay. I started doing like Beyonce, Miley Cyrus, like, you know, and then I got like a bunch of, because my name was Japjeet Sandhu, it got pushed into a lot of like Punjabi mainstream stuff on Twitter.
Sure.
And so people were like, why don't you do a Punjabi song? Like, do a Punjabi song. We love the American, but like do the Punjabi song. And then I started doing a lot of like Punjabi music. And I think the first song that I remember that went like kind of viral on Twitter was just like Heed. And then I just never stopped. And then I just continued making like, you know, covers on Twitter. But then I got a lot of recognition on Twitter for it. Like, I think people like, am I supposed to be name dropping? I don't know. But Jazzy B would like quote my like Twitter videos and be like, "Bale vetere," like this and that. Emmy Burke has like, you know, DM'd me. And this is like me 15, 16. And so I was just like, this is so cool. But like, what does this mean? You know, like I was just like, I don't know.
I think if you get a DM or a retreat, good.
Especially at that age. That's
And like those two are like, I mean, I don't know Amy, but I know Jazzy. He's a pure folk music lover.
Yeah.
Right? So
I mean, Jazzy B, I definitely grew up listening to because my parents and stuff. But like, I don't know. I think at that point, I was just so like this is cool. Okay, back to school. Mm, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go back to school now.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was, I knew what I loved, but I just didn't like know how to like.
So what instruments can you play?
I have, piano is one for sure. The harmonium, the vaja is always something. I try to like dabble in guitar, but like I'm still getting used to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to play the violin.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to learn more, but yeah.
Yeah.
You said you started with like Shabbat Kirtan.
Yeah.
Is that how young were you when that, you started that?
Like 3 or 4.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
wow.
3 or 4.
You've been singing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because like, a lot of like a lot of artists, they start in like, you know, doing Kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and then like they, I think like Shinda, Sukhshinder Shinda, that's what he did too.
Diljit did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Diljit, Sukhshinder Shinda. A
even
lot.
Though like a random one, Dalair Mendy.
Mm-hmm.
He did
yeah,
that.
He's
they
no,
start,
yeah, the whole
they start the it's like, cause they, I mean, they, I mean, some people don't they sing Kirtan in rag, but some don't.
Yes.
But still, it's, you know, you're singing on key and stuff.
Yeah. And you're singing like, you know, Shabbats and stuff. A lot of people don't even use the vaja. You know, they just get on stage and just sing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, definitely.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's how
and it also, it's like when you're starting out too, I don't know, when you're a kid, you're not going to be as scared to be in front of an audience. But, you know, when you grow.
Yeah.
When you grow.
That's so true.
So maybe, I don't know, did that help at all? Like. Or probably not.
It has to.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It didn't. Okay. Like it this is really weird. It's so crazy you mentioned that because, like, I think that's where, like, the fear kind of started a little bit where it was, like, I don't know. I gained my stage fright from performing at Gorgloria.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because it's, like, as a child, it's, like, okay. And this is like also something like, I don't know if it's common for people who grew up in like musically inclined families and stuff, but when everybody in your family sings and you also sing, you get compared a lot, you know? And it's not like they're purposely doing it to make you feel bad. It's kind of just like they think it's like a support thing, like, oh, we go on the like, you know, this and that. But it's kind of like all my cousins sang, you know? And when I would get on stage, it would sometimes be like, you're doing the vaja too. You're doing it at the same time. You miss a key or something, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of like, oh, tutto reggae si o te. You know? And
I think we can see
like,
where the stage fright came
that's,
from.
That's
then,
any Indian training. Any good training, right? That's good. That's a good teacher.
And like, I'm not going to lie, my parents, and like, as much as supportive as they are, they're also very like, we want you to be good.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, "Jetu reggae kete, practice it again." You know.
Yep.
But they're as a 5-year-old, you're just kind of like, "Man, I wish you just clapped for me." You know.
Yeah.
You know. But I will say it has made me better because it's made me like, to myself, I'm like, "My reggae kete, let me do it again." You know.
Yeah. It helps you with like, I mean, like perfecting.
Exactly.
Something, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel it's helpful. No.
Yeah.
I had a sarangi teacher, who was from the Gurdwara and. This fool had like no empathy at all for me learning, and he was just hard, hard on me.
Yeah.
No care, but like, you know, I mean, that's how you learn.
I was taking piano lessons last year, and the piano teacher was an older Asian woman, right?
Okay.
So, my first three lessons with her was amazing.
Was this in Yuba City?
Yuba, the little place you guys all live. Yes.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
She's always talking about your dad guys and be like, oh, they all come here. So. Somehow, it's a funny story. The first three lessons were absolutely amazing. I'm making huge progress. Like, I'm practicing. I'm into it. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm getting this. I know a little bit of music theory, but I wanted to grow in it. So somehow, after the third week, she got my IG.
Then
the next month, all we're talking about, the lesson's an hour.
Right.
For 45 minutes, we're talking about my lifestyle. You're going to go there? You're going to go there?
Oh,
so how does this happen? She teach me one little thing. Okay, practice. So how does this happen when you go there? I'm like, dude, this is awful. But the first three lessons I got, she was unreal. I had to stop because we were just going there talking about my life and not learning piano. You know what I mean? So I'm like, but she's that same generation as like, I'm sure like how you were taught and how I was taught to throw. I learned from Lao Singh Parti.
He was
raw, man. He told us like, yo, you ain't ready yet. Like he would be like, first two,
they're
three years
you,
I learned, I was like, they were like, yo, you can't go to a show yet. You're not ready. You're gonna you're gonna embarrass yourself and me.
Oh yeah, because
you're representing them that's too, so right?
Like, he was like, I don't care what you do to you. I care about what you do to me.
Yeah, because you're a representation.
When I tell you,
you
can go, you'll go to the first show with me, wedding, whatever you're doing. Then you're gonna go after that on your own.
Damn, but that probably helped you though, right?
Bro, hella.
Yeah, because he instilled that myself. At a young age. Yeah,
it helps you in a way, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, now they're like, you should. You know, softness is this and that.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of discourse.
You know, back in the day, they didn't care about that. They were like, we want it this way. You know, but
I feel like it's about finding the healthy balance between
healthy
like
balance,
positive reinforcement,
sure.
But also like you want to make sure that there's accountability in place.
And
too,
I feel
right?
like I had that. Like the men in my family are like, you know, very strong men, and so they were hard on me a little bit. But then my mom was always like, "Babe, you're good. You're chilling.
This is like so cool. Like, you know, I've never met like anybody who came from a music family." At your age, and said, "Hey, go do this." Like, it's usually us battling. Like I always tell these guys, like I had to struggle to get into the industry.
Yeah, I've heard
right?
that too.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I get that.
Now it's cool, but me getting in it was ruckus.
And that's a lot of families actually, even now. But I don't know. I definitely am blessed and lucky to have a family that supports me so much.
You mentioned like your grandfather was like he was classically trained.
He was a grunty at the Gordora.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. So I always had access to the vajra and to him, and, you know, and he also just like, he loved music, you know, he would, I think growing up, like he was also just, he was first like, okay, tu shabadhi ka, like, you know, you do classical this and that. But then when he started noticing, and this is like later, this is now kind of a couple years ago, he was just like, I guess he was kind of just like, are you going to make this into a career? And I was kind of like, I think so. Like, I think I might. And then he was like, that's interesting. At first, he wasn't kind of, at first he was like, to see school jao, go to college, get a degree, you know, all that stuff too, which is very normal. Everybody wants their kids to like pursue a career that is stable. Right? But I think when he noticed that like, this is becoming a little bit more stable for me, then he was like, oh, I heard this song, in this like Hindi old song. And I was like, you listen to Hindi music? You know, like that was so crazy to me. Cause like, he's like one of those like monks. Like that's how he is. He doesn't talk much. He's like just reserved. A very spiritual man. Dope. And so when he was just like, this Lata Mangeshkar gana, tenu gana chahida. Like abhi boss hona. I was just like, in my head, he would never be like, I support you and you go do this. But in that way, he was kind of just like, I am okay with you doing this and I'm proud of you. You know, that's kind of how I felt when he was starting to like suggest music for me to sing. And like, I was just like, okay, that's nice. So,
I mean, we all know where you're at. You have songs with Raf. You just had one with Chandni and Mugga. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty big. I mean, you're messing with two of the biggest artists. So that's really good. What does your family think of that? And how did, like, I mean, do they know the magnitude of it? Because they don't, huh? Okay. I kind of knew, like, they don't know. Like,
When I told them that, when I told them that I'm doing a song with Raf, they were like, he was like, who is that? And in my head, I was just like freaking out, right? And they were just like, ida ki matlab hunda? Like, what does that mean for you? And I was just like, I'm trying to explain it to them, but they were just like, okay, like good for you. Like they're supportive, but they were just like, we don't know what we're supporting.
Dad called me one time, I think it was last year, and he's just, hey, Amar, who is this Raf guy? All these kids, they're just telling me they want to see him.
I was trying to push it. It's
like, so, I'm friends with his dad. I've known his dad. I've known him since he was a kid, and they do the midline Yuba every year. Mm-hmm. So he's like, Amar, the kids just want Raf. Who is this Raf guy?
Yeah, my dad's like that too, though, because he like wants to be up with the times, right? He was like, Raf Gornia. Yeah. And so I told him, he's like, oh, he's good.
That's the dope thing about Raf is that the older generation can appreciate him.
Exactly.
He's like a classically trained folk artist.
He sounds like this old singer. And I'm like, he does.
The best way to describe him is he's this generation's Jazzy, right?
Exactly.
So how did that... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So how did that, like, the... Offense, right? That track that you did with him. How did that come about? How did you guys get connected? Like, what's the story behind that?
It was so random, honestly speaking. Like, it was through Instagram, right? My covers were up. I was pretty active on Instagram, like making covers and stuff. But I think there's this guy named Janid. I don't know if you know Janid, but he, we had been following each other for a very long time. He is like, friends with Raf. I didn't know he was friends with Raf. I don't even know who Raf was. I'm gonna be completely honest. Until like maybe 6 months before he had like reached out to me, that is when I heard Modern Mirza. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, whoa.
I feel like that song was like,
yeah, that's kind of, yeah. I feel like that was everybody's first song. That's the first song
really? Of his that's that like I heard. 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I've been messing with rap since he dropped Glossy Rhythm during like COVID. That was like, dude, that song was banger.
Yeah, that was a song that hit for me too.
Yeah.
But I heard Modern Mirza was like, because I got popular on Instagram, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like because it was shot in like Lahore, that vibe.
Wasn't it 2023?
Yeah, like I saw the music video.
It was. Modern Mirza,
right? No, I think it was 2022.
2022. Yeah. We can check on
it. I remember it was like a little bit. What do you like? Take those wires off. My bad. I just remember it like dropping on Instagram. I just remember like a bunch of people I didn't know like followed Punjabi music. Mm-hmm. They caught on to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the music video was the first thing that everybody was like, yo.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was. It was more the vibe of the music video than like.
I mean, the song too in itself was just like such a crazy vibe.
Yeah,
like it was like hip hop and like folk and like something that like I don't think anybody had been doing. Like Sidhu was doing something similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was not crunchy.
I mean, he was using like a folk song in like some hip hop beat, which like I don't think like you always hear like remixes. Everyone always like mixing a track, right?
Yeah.
But no one ever like made like a beat.
It was
like,
just, you know, rap. Yeah. He had the hard. I think it's a mandolin playing in there.
The mandolin is like it's like really nice.
And then he has a hard kick snare, which is a bass line. But it was December 2022, so the edge, right? So it's like right there between 2022, 2022.
So going back to that, right?
So yeah, Junaid had been following me since like I was 15. Like we were like, you know, and he's on the tabla. He plays tabla, and I love following like classical music content creators and stuff. And but Raf basically just like DM'd me. Like he replied to a couple of like covers that I had posted on my stories that were highlighted, and then he was just like, dude, what the fuck? Hello? Do you want to do a song with me? And I was like, what am I gonna say? No.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like, let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
And then later he tells me how he found me, which was through, I think Junaid had told Bobby.
Do you know like, sorry to cut you off, do you know like what year, like do you remember what time, like what month, like year?
Yeah, this was...
Like, just like the process of, you know, like how it started. Because I know
his album... Can I look at my calendar?
His album dropped like, I remember it was like March of 2023,
yes,
right?
It dropped in March. I think he reached out to me.
No, not Rough Around the Edges.
Deadly Venom, right?
Deadly Venom.
That was last year, 2024. Yeah, last year.
It was after the first show he did
here. The full EP dropped last year, March.
Yeah.
He reached out to me in, I think, October.
Okay.
Of... 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. October 2023.
That's crazy because he was doing like those shows around that time.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God.
When he came to
SF.
San Francisco, right?
The first time, right?
October 2023.
He was doing a ton of shows. I think he, I don't know if
he was on tour.
He was on tour while making
Five Deadly Venoms. Yeah.
So
I think that's why it, from October to release in March, it was a very long process, because like, you know, he was touring but he was also working on music at the same time, so the communication was like slower than usual. And so I'm sitting here like anxiety. I'm like, is this song gonna get done? Is this really, in my head honestly I was kind of just like, is this real? Like, is this gonna happen? Like, I don't know.
So you recorded it and then there was a long gap?
I didn't record it. The long gap was from when he wanted me to do a song to when I got the lyrics,
which was
and
when,
to like, and the ball started rolling.
Okay,
you
okay.
know, I mean, the ball started rolling when like he reached out, and then we got all the like, you know, back end stuff figured out or whatever.
Okay.
And like, also one other thing was just like, I did it myself. I didn't have like a manager or anybody that was. I didn't know anybody in the music industry either. Like, anybody who is like known for like, this is what you do and the business side of music. I didn't know shit.
You did like all the takes. Like, you didn't have, when you were singing,
I did the takes at home.
Oh wow.
I did, because I had like a mic and an interface and stuff at home, and I would do a lot of like demos and stuff at home and just like whatever. But I did a lot of guide vocals and stuff at home. But to record finals, yes, I went to the studio for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot
You went through the you went through the process yourself. That's
having to like, and I think it was so big for me because, like, I had a feeling in me that I was, like, my life is about to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It was just, like, my things around that time were such in a transition period for me that I just knew that something was about to change. Mm-hmm. And it did. Like, my life completely changed. Like, the people around me, my mentality. Just very grateful for that opportunity, honestly. Mm-hmm.
So he reached out.
It felt like fate.
Yeah. So he reached out, and then there was a little gap, right?
Yeah.
And then how did, like, the lyrics get situated?
So when I got the lyrics, at first I was like, how am I going to say this? Because, like, when you read it, it's like your brain doesn't comprehend, like, Teared Punjabi when you read it. Mm-hmm. And, like, also, like, I speak Teared Punjabi at home. Like, I am a Punjabi speaker, right? Yeah. But I don't think in Punjabi. And, yeah, like,
reading it is
the practice was there. The practice needed to happen. Actually, I remember I was, like, trying to, like, do guide vocals and stuff. And I had called him because I was like, dude, how the hell am I supposed to say this? Like, I don't know in which way you want me to say this. Like, because, like, there's nakre in a certain part of a song, right? There's nakre in certain lyrics on, like, how to say it to emphasize it in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And even he was like, oh, yeah, you know what? Wait, yeah. Wait, what? And then I was like, dude, what are we doing? And then he was like, let me call the lyricist real quick. And so we call the lyricist. And, like, then us three are on the phone. And he's, like, telling us on, like, how it's supposed to be said and, like, which dialect it's supposed to be said. And so I was, and, you know, he actually was just like, I'm so glad you called me. Because, like, even I was so confused. And, like, I feel bad that I just put it on you to, like, figure it out. He was like, I'm so sorry about that. I was like, it's okay. Like, thanks for helping me, though.
Usually, like, the lyricist will, like, sing it out for you, like, on WhatsApp, and then they'll send it over. So a singer knows how to sing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which composition, singing
when we had Jesta on, he said, like, when they had that Patola song, they found, like, a lyricist who, like, you know, that will write for Raph, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the same thing. They'd look for your, like, personality and write it out. So
you're,
like, brand new. You know, you're never, so it's like a whole different,
And, like, I had never sang, like, folk like that, you know? And I think it's just, like.
Can you do a hick?
A what?
Do you do hicks?
What does that mean?
Hick? No.
Like the whole.
Long.
Oh, man, I do everything. I will do it. Like, I do. I love dabbling and stuff like that.
3 years old.
Yeah.
Of course.
No, yeah.
I mean, like, that's that's like the folk thing.
Yeah. I do it for fun. Yeah. I think it's fun to do. Like, I'm not going to lie. I sing every day of my life. Like, there's always, like, elevator music playing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I do. In the shower and, like, random things. Mm-hmm. Just for funsies. Yeah.
So then the track, like, you guys figure it all out. Track, like, was there more to that story, like the process of it, or, you know, you guys got it figured out?
No, I think that was it.
And then it drops, and what was reception?
I will say that, like, because after, even, like, after him, I did, like, songs with other people too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that process was probably my most favorite because it was so one-on-one as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm so appreciative of that because, like, I think sometimes with experience, sometimes people will just be like, give you a song and you figure it out on your own and then you send it back and then they're like, you did this all wrong.
Yeah.
You know, can we do like 30 more takes?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm so appreciative of him being like, let's work on it together. I got you if you need it. You know, like if you need any help with anything, like I have all the resources for you. You know, and then the song was recorded. I sent it back and immediately he was just like, you absolutely fucking killed it. And like you get that validation, you know? And I think at that time, because I was so like shaking, even shaking talking to him, like I was also starstruck, you know, because like it's Raph Sapara, right?
Yeah.
And so like sometimes Omri
knows.
I wouldn't know because I've never, I mean, we met him very briefly once, but like I've never like talked to him.
No, so he has like this like
aura
that you just like, even like through words, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just shaking a little bit because he's so like strong, but it's like very kind. Like he's just so kind, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, song was recorded and there was still some like waiting period after the song was done. And that waiting period felt like ages.
Yeah, I bet.
It felt like ages. Like, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God.
Do you, like, so you completed it?
I had completed it. Sorry, I cut you off. I do that a lot.
Good. You're good.
I completed it around.
This is a podcast.
Yeah. Around like December. And so, like, that wait. Oh, it's also because they were like, kept pushing it out. Mm. And I was just like, this is never going to happen. This is never going to happen. Yeah. Somebody just pulled a prank on me. Like, you know, I kept telling, I don't know why I kept thinking that. I was like, this isn't real.
It's crazy because a lot of music that comes out, like today, these guys would be working on it for the last 5 years sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But then sometimes they could pop out stuff in like 2 nights.
Yeah.
Like Jazzy told me, I sang this song 3 nights ago and I'm dropping it in a week. But then I have songs from 6 years ago that I don't know when I'm dropping. Yeah. This is how it is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's a creative process, right?
It probably varies. Yeah. I think that's so true because sometimes I'm thinking of a concept and I'll like make it and I'm like, but I'm going to drop this in 2 years and this season because this is when it's going to make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's fun, though.
Do you have like that? I know I get it. Like, I have a lot of shit that's like not done, not out because I'm like, it's not good enough. Do you have stuff out there? And it's fine. When I let people listen to it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But do you have like that worry of like, I'm not dropping this, it's not good enough? Like, or do you have stuff like always. in your?
Always. Yeah. I think all artists go through that.
You have to. Yeah.
I overthink it a lot. Like, I will. For me, it's not even about, like, are other people going to like it, you know?
Yeah. It's about yourself.
But sometimes it is. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, damn, I fuck with this. But, like, are people going to fuck with this, you know?
I feel like you can't. That's what holds a lot of good work back.
For
right?
sure.
Yeah, because for people are just like, you like it, but the other people like it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have to like it.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's, like, a constant thing in my head. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, but I need to like it. Like, it really... Not saying that the audience don't matter. Consumers matter for sure.
100%,
But I think when it comes to like authenticity, you have to be able to be stand in like, this is what I like. And then Loki apne aap hi aa jande. You know, like whoever fucks with, they fuck with it. And then that's when you build that.
Because I'm sure we would trust you if you have something that you think is good.
Yeah.
Most of us would be like, gotta drop it, you know. Yeah. Don't be holding back, especially if you got anything. Yeah. Holding back on.
You do the track with Raph, and then you move to the. I think it's a track with Juarez.
Wazer.
Yeah. That was insane.
That song is a banger.
That song happened in 2 weeks.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that one was. The thing is, I swear to God, you guys, I swear I manifested that because like after the Raph track was done and like. I was like, okay, who's next? You know?
Were you getting, like, after that track drop, were you getting, like, more, like, engagement from, like, artists in the industry? I bet, more visibility and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. I think that offense definitely put me on the map. Mm-hmm. It definitely opened doors that I never thought that would ever open for me or, like, or even there, you know? I think it was just such a blessing. Like, I cannot be... more grateful for that opportunity, honestly.
You even got a chance to perform it on stage with him, right?
Oh my God, that shit was so crazy.
It was in New York, right?
It was in New York. Oh my God, that was so insane, you guys. Like, I just cannot even explain how that whole thing was a blur. but it was just so much fun. Like,
how did I miss this?
How I mean, it had to have been on his tour, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one, but in New York. Like, do you remember when exactly that was?
So he was supposed to come to Dallas. Okay. He was supposed to come to perform in Dallas. And that's when he was just like, hey, you're going to sing with me in Dallas. And I was like, let's do it. Like, down, you know.
In your hometown?
Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. But then, you know, whatever happened, Dallas got canceled or whatever. And so I was like, so upset. I was so upset. Damn. I was like, I'm not letting this go by. Like, there's no way that I'm not going to sing with Raph on stage our song. And so I had like found a weekend where I was like available and like yada, yada, yada. And I was like, hey, I'm actually going to be in New York this weekend. He was like, come through. And I was like, okay, period. And so me and my sister go to New York and like he gets everything set up, like blah, blah, blah. And I was only there for like 48 hours too. Like I flew in the next day and it was my first time in New York, by the way. I had never been to New York either.
Yeah, no wonder it was a blur.
I know.
That's like my experience.
It was just insane. Like it was my first time in New York. So I also was just like, I want to have a pizza. Yeah. I want to eat a bagel. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Central Park. Yeah. And so I did do that. And then I did that the next day. And then we had stage. I completely lost the word.
Sound check.
Bummer. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. Know, yeah. I had sound check. And so, okay. And this is also the first time I met Raf. It was so crazy. And so, like, I was already so nervous. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Am I cool enough? Like, that was my biggest thing. I was like, am I cool enough to, like, do this? I don't know.
It don't matter. You sing good enough.
Yeah.
That's
enough.
Okay, yeah. That's also. My sister was like, you wouldn't be here.
He hit you up for the song.
I know. Yeah, I know. I forget that. Yeah. I just, like.
You didn't reach out to him. He found you.
I don't know. But in my head, I'm just still that, like, you know, dorky girl that's just singing on her piano. But, like, you know, it's just crazy. But anyways. And so, like, you know, we, like, confirm, like, a meetup spot, whatever. I'm at the, I, like, walk towards, like, the backstage or whatever. And then, like. He comes. It was him, Imran, and like some of his boys or whatever. And he's just like, what's up? And I'm like, hey. I'm like, hi. And I mean, okay. And after that initial, like, hey, what's up? You know, then I was like, okay, we chilling. Yeah. Like, cause he was so comforting. Like, he was just like, you good? Like, you ready? This and that. Like, I'm like, I'm so fucking ready. Like, let's born do this, ready. You know? Like, yeah. I was born ready for real. And so, yeah, that's when I so that's when we actually got to sit down and like talk. And so that made me a lot more comfortable. I mean, he kind of like asked me the same thing. Like, he was just like, so how'd you get started? You know, mm-hmm. like, where did this like voice so come
you,
from?
He gave you a podcast.
Yeah.
kind of. And so, yeah, we just talked for a little bit, did sound check. Sound check was insane. Like, I think I love this when I do this, though, because like, I think sometimes people don't expect me to sing. I don't know if this is like not humble or whatever, but like people don't expect me to sing as good as I do sometimes.
Yeah.
And so during soundcheck, you know, we started the song, like he sings his verse and then I come in and I'm like, jakta, you know, yeah. And everybody's like just standing there like, yeah. Oh shit. And I was just like, that wasn't that good. Let's start it again. And Bobby was like, that was great. Do exactly that again. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And it was just so like, it was nothing. Just like, I was like, damn, I'm here. I got to soak it up. You know?
Really could tell a singer when they sing live.
Like, yeah.
Studio is one thing, right? Yeah. But when you go live and sing, like.
That's what I'm talking about. I think people don't expect me to sing that good live. Yeah. And so that was interesting. That
I've
was
seen
fun.
Like a ton of singers and I'm like, yo, you're all badass in the studio. But when it comes to live, But then I've seen some, you're just like, you're even better in person and you're so dope live. You know what I mean?
That's why, like, that's what I look at, like, folk, because folk is, you know, all about live singing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why it's like, that's when it's at best, right? Yeah. Live singing. So, you know, if you can't sing folk live, like, you know.
That's where you tell people, like you've been trained properly, like her, right?
Yeah. You can tell. That's where the difference
is. They have that confidence, like, oh, fuck, we don't have no CD in the back. It's all good. They tackle it.
Spelled
it
out.
How
was that? Like, what was the crowd like? How was the show itself?
Man, I think the crowd, the concert was sold out. Mm-hmm. And
like
it
all
was,
of your shows, but
yeah, that's true. It was sold out. I think I, from soundcheck, like my nerves were completely gone. Like I was just excited at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to a point where like I'm not nervous anymore be on stage. Yeah. Thankfully.
Nerves are
that
good
was
and
annoying.
Bad.
Yeah, I just convinced myself that I was excited. Yeah. Like at that point, it's kind of just like, I mean, people paid money to see you.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I think that's what I just kept telling myself because I was like, because in my head, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get booed off. Yeah. But like, why would they do that?
No.
You know,
there's no
not
reason.
Not the type of people at Raf's crowd. No.
Yeah. I think
he pulls a proper crowd.
Yeah. He really does. Everybody was so sweet. Yeah, like so, like even the people who didn't even know who I was, they were. I could like see them just being like, oh my God, like you know, like you're so good, blah blah blah. Even after I got off, everybody was just like, you killed it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just so supportive, so nice. Mm-hmm. His entire team was just so supportive. Should have
came
so
to the
nice.
Cali one. That would've been dope.
Yeah, man, that would have been nice.
I mean, maybe it's because we're from Cali, but I feel like Cali shows are the best.
Yep. Of course they're the best.
I've never been to a concert.
We're
going to
be biased.
Now.
So when she performs in Cali, she can tell us, okay, this is
when.
Because I feel like folk here is like more appreciated.
I think
you know?
So too.
So it's
like,
I'm sure I appreciate New York, but I don't know. It's just like it's something out here.
Something
maybe
it's
like, maybe
it's
like
the
Bind
vibes, you know? Yeah. You already have the Bind vibes.
Yeah, so I feel like it's just like, it's just,
Yeah, we're really big on still having Dool and shit in our music.
Yeah.
Like, it's a must.
You know? I love that, man.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
but, and like performing there was just like amazing. I saw Jay Sean He was there too.
That was cool.
He showed up. That's sick.
Yeah, he was there. He watched me perform. So that's I was like, holy crap. Sick.
That's a support. That's legit. That's
I've met him and he is the dopest guy.
Really?
He's so crazy.
Dude, that's OG right there.
That was just crazy because I was like, man, the way I used to sing, like me and my cousins used to perform down. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, you know, it was like our concert. Yeah, you know, we would make our parents sit down and we would like have a whole choreography and like sing down. And then like the fact that like he watched me perform was just crazy.
That song
was like,
big.
Wow. Like that, yeah. Felt like a little full circle.
Cash Money, right?
With Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne, dude.
Man, shout out to Jay Sean, man.
That's dope. That was insane. Yeah. So
and Jay Sean can sing Punjabi.
I've heard him.
Yeah.
Fire.
We have to hear
this. He's very Surila too.
Yes. I heard it. So I did a wedding. We did a wedding together and he sang in Punjabi there and it was fire.
Yeah. Was that in Dallas?
It was in San Francisco.
Okay. I was like, I know he came to Dallas recently too.
I want to say 2019. January of 2019. Maybe. That's what it was.
Doesn't he have like a song in Punjabi? Or he has somebody else is singing Punjabi and he's like rapping or something like that.
That's Richie Rich, I think. Yeah. Richie Rich and Juggy D and those times. Early 2000s.
It's a Juggy D one.
Juggy D.
That's a good track.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the song you did with Wazzer, right? Mm-hmm. Moose Tape CD. Like you said 2 weeks, like from start to finish?
So after Raph, I was like, Wazzer's next. And I had already said that before it even happened.
Damn.
So that was just crazy to me. Like I was in my head, I was just like literally manifesting it and pretended that like it had already happened. And then somehow, somewhere, people from his team reached out. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, holy crap. Like I had no contact with him. Nobody that I knew that was working with him or anything like that. Yeah. And I was just like, Megana Karna Wazernal. And I would just keep saying that. And like, you know, obviously like seeing if it could happen. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then, somebody from his team reached out and they were like, Wazer Baji ne Garna Karna Tenal, this and that. A Garnaya, Tusi Deklo, Jetanu Changa Lagiata Fera, you know, Asi Gardenea. And I was like, okay. So I heard it and I was like, yeah. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. I was like, let's do it. And so, but they were like, sado sheti chahida. Okay, it like, you know, everything tiaria, but we just need to, like, we need your vocals. And then, like, we're going to release it in like 3 weeks. And I was okay. I was like, okay, cool. And so I just did a couple of guides at home. No. I did the entire song at home. Damn. Like, I didn't go to the studio for any finals because, like, at that point, I think I had gotten a new mic or something. And I was just like, fuck it, you know, like I'm just gonna do my best, send it to them. And at the end, they were also kind of like, this is perfect, this is exactly what we need. Mm-hmm. But I think what it still took me a while, I'm not gonna lie, because I think with that song there was one word that they made me keep doing. Like I literally, not kid you, I took 50 takes. Dang. For that one word. And it was I don't even remember what it was, but eventually the song.
If we play the song, would you remember?
I probably would tell y'all, but and then I sent it back, and they were just like, "This is perfect. Like this is great."
That's dope.
Mm. Yeah, and then the song came out. The song came out during my friend's wedding. It was during my friend's wedding. And so, like, I was so, like, you know. And then I think I just got a text from one of my friends was, like, sent me the song because the song had dropped. And I was, like, so out of it. Like, I was unaware that the song had dropped. And he just sent it to me. And he was, like, this is fire.
So good.
And I was, it's out. And then, like, at that point, like, all of my friends, like, had just played the song. They were just, like, playing, jamming into it. And I was, like, this is dope.
It's like a, like, what you expect from Wazzer. And then you got you on it.
I mean, that was... It's good. Yeah. I freaking love that song. It is very different from the rest of his, though, in my opinion. I know he does like that hardcore stuff, but I don't know. This one felt a little different.
I mean, because you're on it, right?
Maybe. Obviously. Maybe it's just different for me.
There's an old Jamkila track. It's like Gora Gora Rang or something.
It
kind of has that. Moose Tape CD kind of has the same like
the vibe to
vibe
it.
Rhythm cadence. I don't know the technical term for it, but it kind of has that same like same vibe.
It does. I mean, I think same thing with that song. I think it the exposure that I received from that song was also just like insane, but it was a lot more India crowd.
Yeah.
So that's what was different. I think with Raph it was like, UK,
your vibe,
US, yeah, like a lot more like American Punjabi. Mm-hmm. But with the Wazir, I got a lot of like
India,
Punjab, India, mm-hmm. Pakistan, like that type of vibe, and also like my Spotify.
But that's like, that's mm-hmm. a big market, though. You know,
he has a big market because he drops music like this.
Are you talking about India? You know? Are you talking
about his? I'm talking about India.
Well, India is a huge market.
That's the market, right? That's
like
you can cater to that.
Yeah, and I think that Moostape CD. I think that's the one that got my Spotify like to like where it is now. I think mm-hmm. it's like at when the song came out, I was at a point where it was like 400,000 listeners. And I had started with 26 and just, I think, 2 weeks after it was there. And I was like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, that's insane.
India algo hit.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful for that as well.
That's dope.
I loved all of, like, the feedback from the song because they were just like, this is so crazy. Yeah. And I think also hearing my voice more, people were also like, oh, shit. Like, you know, a little bit more recognition, more like, this is dope, you know?
Because you had more, like, lines on that song than you had on Offense, right? Like it was a little more
this was just me, like you know, instead of it like being like a duet, like back and forth this was just like a full verse of just me.
So
then you fast forward, you get, how'd you get that, you just dropped the track with Chani and Moga. It's called
Aja.
And I finally got to listen to it like last time I drive here. I'm like, yo, you know, she can be on the pod tomorrow. I'm
gonna know, it's perfect timing. It's today's Sunday. The track dropped 2 days ago on Friday.
So I'm like, yeah, it's really good. So congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you.
So how'd that, I mean, how'd that happen?
Because
they are the hype right
the
now.
The way Instagram works is amazing.
Well, honestly, that's how we got connected with you,
that
too.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. No, Chani just like reached out and like,
how long ago was this?
This was a while ago, too. This was, like, in... Oh, my God, the same process, because this dropped in March. I think this was, like, last October.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was last October.
It took a while.
They've been working on the album for a while, then.
They've been working on the album for a very long time. Yeah. And, like, he just reached out, and he was like, yo. I was like, hey. Because he, like, he was also like, hey. And I was like, hey. Yeah, he was just like, man, I don't remember exact conversation, but he was like, do you, let's do a song. And I was like, let's do a song. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we want it to be on the album. You know, this is what we want. Are you down? They sent me the song. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, let's do it. But I'm not going to lie, I was a little hesitant with this one because this was not as folk.
Yeah.
You know, this was a lot more mellow. Mm-hmm. This was a lot more using a lower tone for me instead of like, you know, in folk, I'm like a little bit on a higher scale, you know?
Yeah.
This one, I was kind of like, are people going to like this? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, it's Chani and Moga. Yeah. Like,
it's a good song. It's so melodic.
I know.
You'll get listening.
Actually, at that point, I had only heard the beat. Mm-hmm. And I loved the beat. I was like, oh, this is so sick.
Who did
and like,
the beat?
J-Track.
J-Track. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, J-Track.
And I was just like, oh, this is nice. And then they sent... So Moga sang the whole thing and sent it to me. And that's when I was like, oh, my God. Is this going to sound good? Like, is this going to... I don't know what I was thinking. I was kind of just like a little nervous because I was like, people are so used to me singing folk.
Right.
I mean, they're not used to me. Yeah, I only have two songs out. But like, you know.
That's like what you've
given. What I've been doing. Right, and I was kind of like, okay, well, I know they like this, but are they going to like this? You know? But then at that point, I was just like, you know, but I like it.
That's
like,
all
I love
all
this. Yeah. And so, and like, I think this song I did when I did like Finals 4, I was on FaceTime with Chani and Moga. And like they have such a unique ability of making everything seem like it's not so serious. Mm-hmm. Like they just
that's
like crack.
I feel like that's like Jenny's vibe.
So I cannot
that's
kid you. Cool. They're so funny. Like Chani is hilarious. And I like to think I'm pretty funny. But like he like but like at one point we were just like going back and forth, like dying laughing, because like I kept cracking a joke and then he kept cracking a joke. And I was like, okay, we need to work. What is going on?
I mean, his name of his album is like what he says every day on Snapchat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nice day in the band. I know. Oh, baby. That's so bad.
I know. And his TikToks are hilarious. And I knew about them. Like he was always on my For You page and stuff. And so when he reached out, I was just like, this is going to be so crazy. I was like, this is so crazy. Yeah. I was like, like, I'm just like, it shocks me sometimes. I'm like, not everybody gets opportunities like this, you know? Yeah, so like every day, you know, because it's just crazy.
The doors are going to open wider and wider.
They're
now.
Only going to keep coming. The ops are only going to keep coming.
I hope so. Yeah. But so we were on FaceTime and we recorded the song. Same thing. I think people expect me to like just know how to sing a song off the bat, but like like when I certain words, I cannot singing certain words and then saying certain words is a lot. It's more difficult.
Right.
There was this one word that I kept saying, and then Moga was like, because we did it like 50 times, and I was like, I'm saying it right, and he was like, no, you're not, because it was. Instead of like chali, I kept saying chali. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, "Tusi chali kai janne ya." And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to say. I did it like 50 times. But eventually we got it and it was good. And I think they throughout, even like what I loved about them also is like they kept me so updated on everything. Mm-hmm. Like it was so comfortable. I think I like to say we're friends now because we are friends, but it's just like they're so like jimmy apne nahi hunde. That's how they talk, and that's how they made me feel. And it was just
Surrey,
like
it's Surrey.
Surrey. Oh my god, his Surrey accent kills me.
It's Surrey vibes.
His like voice notes killed me. I would sit there cracking up because like it's so like so Surrey, you know.
No disrespect, but Surrey people talk funny, man.
Dude, I was dying just at his like.
But that's Canada too, in general. Canada.
And I had never.
It's a little
heard
deeper
Surrey
in Surrey than
accent.
It is in like Toronto.
Toronto is more like Jamaican, bro. Yeah. Surrey is like I don't
even
know.
If you go to Brampton, they got a little. It's just it's
Canadians are funny, man. We love our Canadians.
I've never heard of a Surrey. I've never heard a Surrey accent before I spoke to him. I didn't know that was like a thing. Like I didn't know what it sounded like,
buddy.
Until
they just
speaking.
Say yo,
like,
yo, buddy.
I think at one point I was like,
buddy, after
are you,
everything.
Like, are you pulling my leg? Like, do you actually talk like this? And he was like, talk like what? And I was like, right. My bad.
That's dope, just how they talk, man.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But no, I very happy with the entire album. I feel like there's not a single miss on that album.
I love Best Friend. Oh my god, that's so good.
Yeah, they dropped that one like a little before.
Yeah,
they
that has
the
like the
all,
like it gives me like 112 vibes, like the R&B the beat.
Dr.
Zeus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I mean,
he doesn't miss.
Yeah,
Zeus never misses.
Big hitters on that song.
Yeah,
you one of them, right?
Yeah. What?
On the album.
I said they have a lot of big hitters.
Oh, on the album.
Yeah, on the album.
100%. Like I was like shocked to see my name on there. Not shocked, but I was kind of just like, this is so cool. Yeah. Like, Mera Naam Likhya, and then there's like Harkirat Sangha like right above me. And then there's like all these like other people. And I'm just like, wow, this is so insane.
And they have like a ton of duets, right? Like, or female
archers. Yeah.
Girls like you, and then they also have
Garm Brar.
Yeah,
well.
Garm Brar.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know. That was crazy. The whole album is just so good. I really do like it.
So do you have any like future projects coming up that you can share?
I
can't really share. But I will say I'm working a lot of solo stuff.
That's
good. Yeah. I do want to like as much as I love collaborations and I love working with other people, I'm not coming into this being a feature.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like collabs are kind of getting like a little too much now. That's just my personal opinion. It's just too much now. You know what I mean? It's cool, but it's too much.
And I think it's just like, I think it's more of a personal thing for me where it's just like, I don't want to just be known as like, oh, she's just a featuring artist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I have my own sound.
Exactly.
I have my own
That's what we would say do. Yeah.
And I mean, for sure. Like, I think I want to, I have things to say. You know, like I have things I want to say, I want to put out into the world. I have my own perspective on things. And I think in the Punjabi industry, there is a lack of female perspective.
Especially solo.
Solo.
Like there's a lot of
solos
features
as well.
Right. You see like Gurleg is a feature.
And when I say like
time.
Perspective, it's like experiences. Like, there's, yeah, we see all these like male experiences that, you know, Raf is talking about his experience, Janine and Moga about their experience through song, but there's not much of like a female's experience.
I feel like there's only Jasmine. Her. She has like her own aura, yeah, man. She's so dope. She's everything she puts out, just like
fire, she's just, man, so authentic to herself, yeah, as well. Yeah. And that's
she's
what I
authentic
love
to herself. That's
and
the
I
big
love
one.
That. Yeah. And I think, to see Joe Marjica, lo bro, but she is herself everywhere.
When she's on stage, she'll say whatever.
And that's respect, because that's hard to do.
Especially as a woman, I bet it's different. Like, as a man, you can say what you want. You probably won't cast as much flack for it.
100%.
Have any of you guys seen her perform live?
Yeah.
Well, she was at the Mela.
Yeah. I did a wedding with her. Oh, dude. Yeah. Unreal. Like, her energy, she was just, I was like, whoa.
She takes over. She basically
the presence.
That's one I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. And I saw it, and I was like, whoa.
She's just so dope, man. She's very, like, powerhouse. And I love that, because I feel like it really does set this, like, what's the word? It's not, she like sets the tone for other women that are doing the same thing. It's like, you know, you can be a loud woman in Punjabi industry and like not give a fuck.
Yeah, she has a BU vibe, like just
exactly.
BU. Yeah.
Exactly.
F everything else.
No, I mean, she comes out, she's got the red hair, she's just like got that.
She's just herself.
About aura, right?
She's just she's herself. It. And it's like, I think if you can't respect anything else, respect the fact that the person is not trying to be anybody else but themselves, you know? Yeah, and so.
And how many years has she been doing it? Good Lord.
For a while. Yeah. And she's top. She's like, I mean, she's up there. You know? Everybody knows her name. I mean, you know?
That first track she dropped, she had that song with the, I think it was like Honey Sing, that Bollywood song. That's the first time I heard her.
Or the one that really went blew up.
Yeah, that blew up.
The one, the Devil movie.
Devil movie.
Yeah.
That's where like.
I don't think I've heard that.
That's the song I first heard. I mean, it's like a, it's a short song, but that's, I remember, I just remember that's the song I was like, who is Jasmine Sandvliss? And that's that, like her, she has that voice that is authentic.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, she does. Yeah. She has that like bodiness too. Yeah. I think I remember listening. I mean, I've been listening to her music for a while, but maybe not her like new stuff just yet, just because I haven't really come across it, but Bartalegia was something that like I love to sing. You know, it's such a good, it's such a good song to sing. Like Mitti Mitti was really good with Amrit Maan. She has her own sound,
she's badass,
you know? And she's badass, yeah, for sure.
So where is your family at now compared to our first, after the first song with Raf, to after now? I mean, are they still the same, or are they like
I think my dad my dad loves to sing as well.
Okay.
And he plays tabla and, like, you know, he's very musically inclined. And so, like, he's just, like, he wants to know everything.
Okay.
Like, he just wants to, like, hon tu ki kar rahi ha, mainu aa gaana suna de, oh, play this one more time. Yeah. And then we're on the car and he'll be, like, because I'm telling him, like, working on, like, solo music. And, like, he's very proud, for sure. And you can tell he's very proud.
That's how
he
should be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's all, he has been, my dad was, like, he's probably tu pa me school vi chhad de par tu music karna. But then my mom was like, no, you have to go to school, you have to go
to school. That was going to be my next question, and she answered it.
No, my, I think my dad lives vicariously through me, cuz like his dream was also to like be in music and like be a performer and all that stuff. And so
do you have like a career, cuz I could swear I seen you in Scrubs, like did I tripping? Like, I think on your IG, I think I seen you in Scrubs. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
So
I'm
like,
trying to hide it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an esthetician.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm an esthetician.
Good.
With skin.
Okay.
That is like my full time job now.
Dope. Okay.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. Honestly, I always say this. I'm like, I'm so lucky to have found two passions.
Yeah,
to do
dude,
in my
that's
life,
a blessing.
You know?
Yeah.
Because some people don't even find one.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great
and,
point.
And that is definitely like, you know how you have plan A, plan B.
Yeah.
Those are like my two little things. It's like I have a real life plan, and then it's like my Delulu plan. But I'm like going with my Delulu plan right now, because I'm like, let's see,
you have to at least
try.
Yeah, like you have to go all in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And one thing I could urge you is go all in.
Yeah.
Because when I went all in, it went, it did numbers, and so everybody I know who's when they're going all in, that's where you get the full. If you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out,
trust
I feel
me,
like you're not gonna get the best
day,
of both worlds.
I'm like, for my 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For my 2 weeks. I don't know. But I mean, I see it happening very soon.
Yeah, fair, fair. Yeah,
I see it happening very soon, where I'm just like, okay, I'm about to just music full time.
Good.
You know? And I mean, that's the goal, right? Yeah. That's the goal for everybody, where it's just like to do what you love every day of your life.
We see that a lot too. I think we see it on stories where it's like your brother Beer mm-hmm. playing he's playing tabla.
Yeah.
Your dad is on there too playing bajra. Yeah. It's like you singing yeah. and stuff.
Oh, that's girl. The sickest stuff. I love watching that. Straight jam fest. Yeah. I share those with my friend circle all the time. This is so dope.
My brother, if he watches this, he's gonna be like, my name was brought up. Because before I left, he was like, can I go with you? Can I go with you, please? And I was like,
you should have brought him.
Yeah.
Solo trip though. I needed a little time out.
You could, if you're watching, you come on. You come on the next trip.
He's my brother and he's very talented, but he's still my younger little 13-year-old brother. So where 13, I need a break sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the youngest of three and I have two older sisters, so I definitely like.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I love annoying my sisters.
Two older sisters.
He's the youngest in the family too. He's 10 years younger than me.
Oh wow.
I'm the baby.
Veer's 12 years younger than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm speaking.
Me and my
experience.
Older sister are 13 years apart and we get along probably the best. Oh, we have the most in common.
Yeah.
And I am the youngest of five.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, the youngest boys in here, so y'all know what it's like.
No, I love annoying my sisters. Kids. Even now, and like, you know, youngest boy, like we get treated like royalty.
Oh
my
god.
You gotta take advantage of it.
Blessing.
You have it. Like why
that
not?
Is so
might
true.
As well.
Oh my god. Sometimes even I'm like, we don't have the same parents. Yeah. Like we don't have the same parents.
Yeah.
But no, I literally see me in him so much. Mm. Like he grew up and instantly a tabla was put in his hand.
That's so
you
dope.
Know?
So sick,
and my dad's played tabla his whole life as well.
Did your brother sing and stuff too?
Not out loud.
So that means he can, but he just chooses not to.
Everybody in my family can sing.
That's so dope.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah.
There's not a single.
You're like, do you ever have it where it's like your mom, dad, like all you guys are just.
I call us the Adams family because kitte bhi shuru ho jana. Like one person. Okay. We'll be all sitting in the living room or something. One person starts and then my dad starts and then I start. And then at one point
that's
we're
sick.
All singing
that's
the
so
same
sick.
Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like.
That's priceless right there. Man.
You guys are like. Who they always want to invite to the wedding. They're like, oh, hey.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, my God. Our family reunions go crazy. Antakshari becomes like Indian Idol. And it comes to competition.
Big jugal. So and they call it in music, they call it when you have like a multiple like instruments or people sing. It's called jugal bandi.
I've heard of that. Jugal bandi. Yeah.
You never heard of that?
No.
Yeah,
Ask your dad.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Big band.
Jugal bandi is what they call it. Like when you just session. In music, session. Musically, yeah.
Is there like a big Punjabi scene like in Dallas where you're from? Like, are there a lot of Punjabis there? Like, I've never, I've only been there once for work, but like,
yeah. There are a shit ton of Punjabis in Dallas.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we're everywhere, man.
Yeah. We did Diljit's show there, right?
Yeah.
Texas.
I went to the Diljit in Dallas, and it was the funnest one I went to.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of us. I mean, there's like six Gurdwaras in Dallas alone.
Oh, wow.
I've been to one, I think.
Damn.
I think I went to one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the parties I've DJed in Dallas are like the dopest.
Yeah, you DJed my best friend's
wedding. Yeah. I played her tracks and she was nowhere to be seen.
Oh. Yes, like, I was. I was there.
Were you there?
Oh my God, no.
I think you were like out in the bar or something like that or something like that.
I was in the bathroom.
Oh, there you go.
And you know what the craziest part is? When you like hear your song and you're in the bathroom, you're like, shit.
I think I ever gave her a shout out. I'm like, yes, shout out, Jeff. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, damn, I think she would wave or something. I'm like, okay.
Damn.
Maybe she's not here.
Damn.
No, you know what was cute though? When I did my speech and then I left and you played.
Yeah.
I was like, hey.
Yeah. For sure.
Do you get that a lot at weddings? Like you're at a wedding and someone's like, hey.
Yeah, are you getting like recognized now?
Like, hey, can we get you?
Let me get a pic.
Can we get a little vocal sample?
Nobody's asked for a picture yet. But yeah, they'll play my song and then they'll just look at me like.
They're not like, hey, like let's get you on the mic. Let's get you to sing a track.
I was hoping she would sing at the last wedding I seen her at. And I was like, but. Yeah, no.
So I have five best friends, and like I've sang at some of theirs, but then sometimes I'm just like, they're like, okay, just do a speech, because they don't like. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for me, it's just kind of like I also want to just enjoy.
They want
my
you to just chill.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like a video on YouTube where it has like you singing for someone's like first dance.
Yeah. Okay. That's my oldest best friend, Joel. She wanted me to sing at her wedding, and she was like the first one of us to get married, and so like I did her first dance, and like. I think that one went the most viral on TikTok too. And think that was just so fun. And that was so beautiful. You know, like she's 5 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
And so like doing that, like I was literally tearing up because I was like, holy crap, this is crazy.
Yeah. So do you see yourself in Dallas or do you want to venture out? I feel like this is just like, She took a weekend trip to San Francisco to check it out. Yeah. She's moving on. She's bringing her to our side, man. The west side.
The thing about me is I always am like, oh, I'm going to move here. Like when I go visit a new place, I'm like, I would move here.
See?
You know?
But Dallas.
Go ahead. Yeah, but Dallas is home. Mm. I think I love Dallas. I don't think I would ever like, I would love to like move out into a different city for a couple months maybe. Mm-hmm. But eventually like I will always find my way back to Dallas. I don't know. I'm probably just biased because like I'm from Dallas, but like Dallas is the best city in my opinion.
It is dope. I love
it
Dallas.
It is so just like it's just there's so much.
What's
to
the
do.
Area like uptown?
Yeah,
that's not a spot,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And there's so many like I mean, not even just like bar districts, but just like so
the
many
sports
things.
Sports city
to do.
Is so
sports.
The Mavericks.
Yeah,
I know, but
there's
they
kind of
lost Luka, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a sensitive subject. Yeah. You probably shouldn't talk about that right now.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm
especially
not a big
sitting across
fan,
from a lake.
You could always just go to LA now.
As long as you're not a big football fan in Dallas, we're fine with you. Yeah. Because.
Did I say football?
Yeah.
I meant basketball. No. Sorry. That's
so you
know.
Are a big football fan. Are you Cowboys
no,
fan?
No, I'm not really big into sports.
Okay,
I'm being
good.
Really
okay.
Honest.
That's
so
yeah.
it didn't hit then.
Yeah,
it's okay.
That's good. No, that's good.
I love a good football game.
Yeah.
But
well,
I don't
see a lot of good
on.
Cowboys games.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Cowboys.
No. Y'all should come out to Dallas. I feel like y'all really enjoy it.
That'd be dope.
We got like the rooftops. We got the lakes. We got like, we have so much to do.
Got the heat, you know?
Exactly.
See, one thing Dallas has that we don't have is bomb ass barbecue.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we got
food.
Mexican food, but barbecue.
They got,
I feel like
they got it all.
I mean, they got their own style of Mexican
food.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh my
so
god,
the food in Dallas, like I think, beats everything.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so good, and it's. I feel like it's turned into like a baby.
We got to take a little pause. I actually have to change the battery.
Go ahead.
Okay, sure.
Cool.
We're at like an hour.
We just
oh,
wrap
we
it
are?
Up.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it goes quick. We'll be fine, though.
We can wrap it up when we start.
We could go like another 15,
it's up
right?
to y'all. I can go for another 3. I'm just kidding.
If there's like a girl out there who's mm-hmm. seen you come up, especially in the last few years, and I feel like you're only getting started, like you're going to go, right? I mean, that's how I feel.
Mm,
I mean, you, and,
sure.
and the door's wide open for you. Is there a message you could give a girl who's like, likes to sing? Could be, you know, you're in Dallas, or she could be in Canada somewhere, or she could be in Indiana or something like that, right?
Yeah.
What were some of the challenges you faced being a girl getting into this? I mean, I know your family pushed you, but I'm sure you still got negative pushback. Mm-hmm. And then what are some positive things, and what do you recommend someone who's going kind of similar to your path? Everybody has their own path, but in their own pathway to becoming a female Punjabi singer.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing would be, don't stand in your own way. I think sometimes we can be our own demons. Like, we tell ourselves that, like, I can't buy a mic, you know, because these mics are too expensive.
Yeah.
Or I can't do this because I don't have, like, the fanciest interface. I don't have the fanciest phone quality or whatever that may be,
right.
you know. I think some of the challenges I faced kind of starting out was...
Because not a lot
the
of
fear
not
of
women,
judgment, I think, is a really big one.
And not a lot of women are going to have a dad that says go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah,
you know,
no, 100%.
I mean, our generations are changed, but there's still generations of dads out there mm-hmm. a lot that are 10, 20, 30 years old that are going to be like, oh, you want to sing? No.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to
yeah.
work. Sing
yeah.
at home. That's
yeah.
it.
So you mentioned,
I think if you have a calling inside of you, if you feel like there's a passion that like you need to do something, it's coming from somewhere, you know. I always say, I was like, there's a timeline in this world that you're already doing it, you know. Right. You're already living that dream that you're having right now. And so I would say follow it, right? You're going to get pushback. You're going to get, like, these people being, like, even, like, just posting, like, covers. People would be like, oh, another cover.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even a real artist. You're not a real singer, you know. But it's kind of like... Who cares? Who gives a fuck what anybody else thinks, you know? If it makes you happy, if you sit there and you're like, you found joy in what you did, what you created, continue doing that, you know? I think what also is a really big one is imposter syndrome. Is something where you like, you kind of tell yourself like, who do I think I am? You know?
Hmm.
It's kind of like,
humble
I'm not
yourself.
Really.
Yeah.
Like you kind of just like, extra humble yourself.
You're too hard.
Yeah,
on
you're like
your
own enemy. Like you know, you're kind of standing in your own way when it's kind of like.
It's a mental battle.
It's
seems
a
like.
Mental
with
and
yourself.
I think,
yeah,
the biggest
I think
thing.
Physically and like, My family was so supportive. My friends have been so supportive. I've always stood in my own way. I think it was a really hard challenge for me to really even just like let go of that fear. Because I think what halters your growth a lot is fear, right? Fear of like not making it, or like fear of like making yourself look stupid. At the end of the day, nothing is real.
So would you say your bigger issues were the material things, like having the mics, the equipment, or would it be more a mental thing or a combination of both?
I think it would be a combination of both, but I think you make things out to be so big in your head than they really are.
Right.
Yeah. Like for me, I still use the same interface that I bought when I was 15. Right. You know, I use the Scarlett.
Right.
You can get that for like Facebook Marketplace.
I have it.
I think it's like you don't need to start off with like the biggest Apollo. Oh, you know, 100%. Like you don't need to start off with like the biggest interfaces. You don't need to start off with like the expensivest mics. Like you can record on your phone too. Oh, you know, like I think it's just in your head. You're like, it's the perfectionism, right? It's like if I put this out into the world, it needs to be perfect, or somebody's gonna point it out. Yeah. And like, that's the fear of like, oh, somebody's gonna say that like I'm not good enough. But it's like, you don't have to be good enough. Like, doesn't have to be perfect. Also, I would say like spiritually, I'm a very spiritual person in general. Trust in the fact that everything happens, everything that you're feeling is guiding you towards something. Mm-hmm. Right. I think for me, I let go of expectations from myself, from other people, just kind of like.
And that's helped you?
Has helped me tremendously. That has helped kind of detaching myself from expectations has helped me so much, because it has opened up doors for me. It, I just let go and I like left it up to God. And I think as soon as I did that is when my life did a complete 180. I was just like, I am, because you know, you talk to yourself every day. You're so, I think you exhaust yourself thinking of ways that you can make your life easier, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like you cannot control everything. You cannot control how somebody else thinks of you.
Right.
Like what somebody else thinks of you is none of your business.
Yeah, exactly,
you know.
Yeah.
And so and like I think with women who want to be in music, they want to make, you know, they want to say something into the world and put it out. I think you should not give a fuck what anybody else has to say about it. Mm-hmm. You want to, like, I think, like, just do it. Just do it. If you have 20 followers, do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you have, like, if, you know, eventually those 20 followers are going to turn into 20.
Yeah.
You know, like you just never know. But I think going in with no expectations and just going in like, you know what, I felt like creating this and I want to put it out to make myself feel good.
Right.
You do that.
So do you, I know like a lot of artists feel, or any business or any, even like with the pod, like us, like what I do, do you feel pressure like to post? I know a lot of business owners have come up to me like, or starting out with the whole social media thing, and art as an artist, upcoming artist in today's generation, how important is social media to your success?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And does it stress you ever? Like, oh shit, I didn't post. I'm not posting enough.
Mm-hmm.
It does?
Every day.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah. I think it's just because like you want to build that engagement. You want to be seen, right? The whole point of being an artist and like getting your music out there is to be seen.
Seen.
But it's kind of like in my head,
it goes back to the spiritual thing. If it's meant to be,
yeah,
it's going
like,
to be.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to... It feels kind of like force a little bit. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. 100%, you know, like, I think who is going to come into my... Who is going to come and see... Who's going to, like, you know, see my music, hear my music. It's going to happen naturally, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to... Because then it also kind of turns into this, like, what am I even posting every day? Like, you know, like... I'm not an influencer. I'm not trying to influence anybody. I'm not trying to be this like TikToker. No, I don't want to like, I think props to people who can do that, who can like be engaging in their content, post 3 times a day while making music and, you know, have this like all together type of thing. Because that takes a lot of mental stress as well.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of like time. Personally, I feel like I don't have that time to do that. Like I just, you know, I also work full time.
Yeah.
And, and I think another thing, it's like working full time and making music does not take away from the fact that you are an artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many artists that like are working a full-time job and then on the weekends they're doing shows.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It's just like it's like it's a means to make money. It's in this world you need money.
What's really what's really crazy is how you've been able to succeed with not having to be that person who's always posting. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good. Thank you. Know, you probably don't have a massive. I don't know your numbers at all, but I don't. I don't know the following you have on all your in all your social medias. But it's great to see that.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do it the typical way.
Like intuitively. Yeah.
Naturally.
Intuitively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
because like you know, it's like so not the same. It's not consistent. I post maybe I'll post 3 times a day one day, or I'll post 3 times a week or something, and then I'll go like 3 months without
posting.
Sure,
yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah,
it's just kind of like whatever you want to do. And like I think the same thing goes with like me and my brother when we're making like these cover videos. It's we don't have a specific time where we're like I just see video bononia, you know.
It happens naturally.
He likes to because he likes to do that, but
it's
sometimes
more, it's more authentic.
Yeah, it's just like we'll be sitting down, and I think half the time that's why I look like shit in most of my videos with him, because I'm just like sitting there and I'm just like, oh, let me just record it, you know. It's not like
that's
we prepare
dope that
for
you
this
drop it.
Yeah, because like I'm not gonna sit here and convince these people that I look like perfect all the time. Like I know.
Trust me none of us do.
I've made roti, my hands will have atta on them. But I'm gonna record this video because my brother wants me to. Like that's it's dope. Just whatever, you know.
That's fine.
Not everybody is gonna look like perfectly put together all the time. I surely don't.
Yeah,
I love that you brought up the whole concept of like letting go of expectations, because that was a big thing for me with this podcast. Like when we first got started, all I could think about is like, man, what if we could have so-and-so on? That would be so dope. What if we could have so-and-so? All we could do is reach out.
Yeah.
Right. And since initially it was just me and Simran, like we're just fans. We're nobodies. Right. So we didn't have the connections to get people on. So I would like reach out to somebody and I would just like, you know, we wouldn't get the response and I would just be like, fuck dude, like this is never going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I hit a certain point last year where I was just like, all right, just like control what you can control. Mm-hmm. Like God take care of the rest.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Slams was the first guy that we had on who like, you know, gave us his time. And then literally like 2 weeks later, Simran calls me. I'm like working in the morning and he's like, yo, Slams wants to do the podcast with us. I was like, what are you talking about? We just had him on. We just interviewed. He's like, no, he wants to like do it with us. And I was like, no fucking
that's
way.
So
like,
dope though.
And now we have acts like, you know, everything's become a lot more accessible. We're doing it more consistently. We're getting people like you on. Like as soon as I made that conscious effort to just like
let go,
do what you
that's what
do
I'm
what
saying.
You can do,
like it really
it's funny
changes
how things work
things
out like
around.
That yeah.
It's because you try so hard and put so much pressure on something that you're just like squeezing it so hard and you're just like, if you just let go things and let things fold naturally, it will work in your favor a lot better than like you trying to like do
force
XYZ.
The issue.
Doing
too much.
Like I think I cannot even stress it enough how much my life has changed as soon as I did that.
Good.
Detachment.
Detachment is like key to everything.
And look, you're doing big things, man. Yeah. Like I said, she ain't gonna recognize us here about 4 months, and she's gonna be gone, man.
Not even.
So I mean, you can't share who you're gonna have, like obviously. Who you're gonna be working on? Are you like one thing I've never really seen much is like two female artists like having like a song together. Is that something you would have? Like
that would
you know
be
what?
Fire.
I actually was talking about that with somebody. And
there's a artist I really like. I feel like she doesn't get a lot of love. Simmer.
Shout out to Simmer. Yeah. That is my goal.
She has like vocals, and I'm like, damn, like a pairing like that would be.
You know, Simmer's the first person actually in the industry that kind of like befriended me and kind of like took me under her wing a little bit, because like I remember like she hooked me up with this like writer who would like help me write. She is just like older sister vibes. Like if I'm ever feeling a type of way about whatever is happening around me, I'm having like just like anxiety or fear or whatever, you know, and she's always the person that I can go to be like, this is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling overwhelmed with this, da 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 da. And like, she is just so calming. Like, she's just so, like, she is just kind of like, she understands the woman's point of view about it, you know? I think my biggest thing I spoke to her about was like going into a studio full of men. And being the only woman there.
We were low-key afraid of that with this situation, too. Yeah. Like, I asked my girlfriend, I was like, you want to come just to, like, because I know she's always talking about it, like, when I'm in a room full of dudes that I, like, don't know it's well.
Awkward. It's
like,
yeah, I can imagine,
So I was like, do you want to come just so that we make you uncomfortable? Hopefully, you know,
you're chilling right now. I think I've gotten to a point where I am pretty comfortable now.
That's good.
But I think back then, it's like, man, okay, so there's a pretty big music scene in Dallas as well. And I mean, I have been working with these guys for so long. Some of these guys are like my best friends, but like even then it's like
isn't Amar Sandhu and those guys, aren't they from Dallas?
They are from Dallas. Amar is from Dallas. Yeah. We grew up together.
DJ Impact. Those guys.
We grew up together. He is family friends with my friend. I mean, we're all from the same city.
That
same
guy can sing too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty good. Yeah. But him too. He comes and goes. But I think growing up from like, because I started going to the studio with them and like hanging out with them since I was like 15, you know.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of these guys were like around my age, but some older. And I don't know what it is about men, but they just, when they got an idea, they like blurt it out. You know, they don't care what anybody thinks. They don't care what, like, Nikki Kana, like, oh, that's a dumbass idea. No, they don't give a shit, you know. For me, I'm kind of like, I don't know if this came with the fact that like they expected me to like whatever came out of my mouth to be perfect, or I just thought that whatever came out of myself into the mic needs to be good, needs to be great. Otherwise, they're gonna be like, oh, she can't really sing, or like she's not that good, you know. And so that fear always kept me quiet. That fear always kept me like, oh no, I don't want to go on the mic. Mm. I don't have an idea. You know, it just kind of was just like, it's so hard. And then, okay, what was really hard is like, then, you know, Bank lived in Dallas for a little bit, and like Straight Bank would come to the studio sometimes.
Really? He lived in Dallas.
He lived in Dallas for a little bit, and then he would come to the studio. And like, when people like that come into the studio, then I'm like, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to speak. And it took me a while to get to a point where I am confident enough to speak out loud and share an idea. I don't know where that change happened. I think that change happened from just like internally. I think that change happened from me letting go of that expectation. Like I said, like when you let go of things like that, it really changes your entire life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It changes mentally. It really just allows yourself to not give a fuck and
be you.
Right. And so I was talking to Summer about that, and she was just like, you know, she gave me some really good advice on like how to handle situations like that. Or even just being a pretty girl in the industry. Mm-hmm. That is something else that is like, I feel like not talked about enough, where it's like.
So you feel that's a challenge in the industry as someone like you, is being a pretty girl, like you said, in the industry?
I think so. I mean,
I can see it. I mean, with some people.
That's what I'm saying. Not everybody
not
is like
everybody.
That.
Not
everybody.
And
I think it sucks, but like it becomes like, you kind of praise them a little for that, which you shouldn't really, because it's like it should be like a normal standard where it's like he's respectful to women, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I do catch myself being like, oh, Henny, he's so respectful to women. As if like it's like the bar is on the floor, you know? Like, what the hell? Like, it's like applauding a fish for swimming, you know?
It shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't be that way. But, you know, you get that. You sometimes do. And like, and it sometimes also makes you feel a little like it's disrespectful as an artist, you know? Like, I am just as much as an artist as a dude.
Yeah.
Just not like, you know, don't sexualize me
in
that way.
Yeah,
just because, you know?
It definitely happens in
this,
the industry,
Any honestly, any industry, not just us.
And I'm not even gonna lie, that's why I think Jasmine Sandlis gets the praise she gets for, because like she does not give a fuck about that.
She
is so like, she is herself. Her authenticity is like shining. And I'm sure she does get sexualized. She does, obviously. Like, she, if you see her comments, they're insane, oh, yeah. you know, but she has gotten her mental that strong.
Yeah.
And I think she is very good at just like not giving a fuck and yeah. just being so strong.
So something I remember at the Yuba City Mela, there was like some like people were feeling it was controversial to bring Jasmine Sandlis because of her like, you know, just the way she yeah. is. But like once she like showed up on the stage and she showed like, I mean, she like when she came, she invited like she was inviting like everyone on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, she stayed and like signed everyone, like, you know, took a photo yeah. with everyone.
Yeah.
Like everyone's obviously mind changed, but like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just kind it's of just like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why they do that.
It's like it's, yeah.
It's, cultural, it's because they it's just think thing. Like
how they
know.
Are online is how they are in person. Yeah. Someone told me that last night. They're like, dude. The decorator I was working with last night, she goes, I've only seen your stuff online. I don't know you, but I thought you were completely different than how mm-hmm. you are.
I get that a lot. I get like, you look like a bitch.
like, yeah, I get the male version of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, I we thought the, you were yeah. going to be like an attitude, yeah. like sassy. And then I show up and I'm just like, I'm me, you know? And they're just like, oh, I never thought you were
yeah, that's
be like
exactly
that.
What she said.
It's probably the songs you sing.
That's true.
Maybe that or just like, I don't know. Maybe the way I look, you know? Yeah. I just...
Because she was like, oh, I swear to God, I thought you were a dick based on your social media. I was like, not that bad. And then the wedding planner was like, she's so cool. She was like, no, I told her, like, you're good. You know, it just seems like that, but it's
it
not.
It just
like,
seems like
that.
Yeah. It just like, comes across.
Just seems like that online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I feel like I would always get like, oh, the attitude thing was a really big thing one for me. Like, people are always like, oh, she thinks she has an ego. The whole time I have like anxiety in my head where I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm like scared, you yeah. know, but yeah. I think that comes off as like a lot of people would think it come off as like ego where she's yeah. like, she doesn't want to sing because yeah. she thinks she's too good the whole time. I don't want to sing because I think I'm terrible. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, it's right. just, it's things like that. But yeah. like, you really have to kind of like teach yourself to not care
because yeah. you can never control what
you
people's
control
perceptions
exactly,
of you are
going to
be.
Like, exactly.
It could be the smallest thing. Like, I've mm-hmm. seen people judge people on just like the smallest things. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even meet the person. You see their picture. You see a video of them online.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, they're probably like this. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Have you met them? No. Yeah. Well, shit.
I am in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Never. Yeah.
Exactly.
Old school ways.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right. Well, we've been going for... over
a while.
Yeah,
it was a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking time out of your busy 2-day trip to California.
Yeah, solo
course,
trip
guys.
To checking yeah. out. She, all the people listening in Dallas, she's moving here. That's why she came.
Yeah,
maybe.
Solo trip.
I don't know.
JK. Yeah.
No, but honestly, this was fun.
Yeah,
I love to talk. So this was yeah, cool. Sure. And I like wanted you guys to be my. This is my third first. This is my first podcast.
Hell ever. Yeah! Great place to start. So. That's dope.
So you know we're gonna make you sing before you get off.
Yeah, I was just. Okay. I was
and then are you gonna hit it with the flash five or
yeah,
the fast
we'll
five?
Do some rapid fire.
Rapid
yeah.
fire, my bad.
So
yeah.
If okay. you're comfortable giving us a vocal sample, that's totally
sure.
up to you.
Sure. You guys have a song you guys want me to
whatever
sing?
You are.
Yeah,
comfortable
whatever you're comfortable.
If you could sing Whitney, like Whitney's one of my all-time favorite. Like
guys,
some of Whitney and then some Punjabi.
You gotta have some Punjabi, but yeah.
Fasted is good. Fasting's okay, good. So you
see, when people tell me to sing on spot, I'm like,
take your time.
Forget every single
we
song.
Could edit all this.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
could edit all this shit out. So no
okay.
worries.
Yeah. I like to keep it.
Yeah. It's authentic.
He's like at night watching every single
yeah.
second.
Fucking creep.
He's the editor, though. So he's the one that's going to make the decision of what stays and what
okay,
goes.
Let me see.
Just before you sing, mm-hmm. Just, yeah, maybe just give a little clap and.
Yeah, we'll
okay.
do it right.
We can even hit you with some like rapid questions and maybe if that'll, you know.
Let her get in her singing space.
Settle
yeah.
the nerves.
Yes.
We'll go from there.
Give
yeah.
me 1 second. I'm just trying to. My biggest thing is like when somebody asks me to sing, I forget the first line of the song. Baki Sara Ondaya, the first. How do
to
I
get it started?
Get, yeah, exactly.
So, coming from like a singing family, I'm sure. I mean, like, you know, like for us, I mean, my parents are not like musically inclined, but like we'd have like someone over and they'd be like, okay, Simran, okay. Play cool for like, but like
a
yeah.
performance.
Musical family,
yeah.
like you
yeah.
guys are just like,
yeah,
the bust whole family out. Is like singing, like
mm-hmm.
you know, for
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
I think the weddings go hard, man. Our when a family wedding comes around, it is
like sangeet, your guys' weddings are probably dope.
Yeah. It's just like no, it's just at the house, like
oh,
house events. Like
yeah.
it's when the wedding is over and we're all sitting at home. I remember going to this my cousin's wedding in California. He had one of the nights where there was no event going on, but he just like had the vaja out. He set up mics and shit and everything. Yeah, and so like, it had the vaja. Meffle. And like, he was that like, is. This is my gift to all my family members that came from out of town. And it was straight up like guzzles.
Oh,
that's this. Okay, so like, that's what we sing. That's we don't sing like these like modern Punjabi songs. Yeah. It's back in the day, like old Pakistani songs.
A maffle. Like,
it's a maffle, yeah.
They do, usually like people do that at their home. They'll have like a singer, like I live in Yuba City, and we go to Granite Bay, some of my dad's friends, and they'll bring artists from like India and do like a maffle. Guy they brought, Devinder Pal Singh.
Yeah.
And he's got like, I think he was on like a Indian Idol, but like maffle like that
You know, and I think I grew up listening to a lot of like old Pakistani songs. That's one thing I did listen to. I didn't grow up listening to like Chamkila and like all that. I grew up listening to like Noor Jahan, Ghulam Ali.
Shaukat Ali.
Water Shah stuff then.
Yeah. And so that's actually one of the things that me and Raf talked about too. Cause like I grew up listening to like ghazals and like Qawwaliyan and stuff like that. And he was like, yo, same.
I look at like the song Heer as like, that's when anyone sing, like, I feel like because it's so old, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many artists that have sang it. So like whenever someone sings like Heer, that's like that shows like your vocal skills, right? Is that something you'd be comfortable with?
Right now?
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, not right now.
Whatever. Not right now. But, whatever. That's a tough one. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I feel like people sometimes. Yeah, probably have to.
Yeah.
I love that song. Yeah. And I think I did that cover on my story recently.
Oh really?
I think I did.
Is it Raps?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's
That entire EP is on repeat.
Yeah. Because it's really good.
So good.
Yeah, I feel like so different. That's something we need more of.
100%.
But that's just 100%. People who know that that space are gonna gravitate towards that.
I don't know, because I remember he did this at the last concert, right? He, in the middle, like, everyone's, like, all hype. He brings out, like, a vaja. And he, like, slows the whole concert down. Yeah. And he just, you know. I mean, the thing is, rap concerts, like, where everyone's accepting of it, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, we're okay with whatever you do. So I feel like he's also, like I have younger nephews who have no idea what Raf is singing about. But they love the guzzle. They love that last album. Mm-hmm. They've never listened to that. I was like, damn, he's, like, exposing like a younger culture to 100%. This generation, you know, this style.
I think it was so refreshing to see that type of music come mainstream from somebody, especially following up with Five Deadly Venoms.
No, definitely. Especially
it took a lot of like balls, probably, for lack of a better term, to like come out with that project.
It's not even singing about girls or freaking guns or nothing like that. Up, like, it's different. Yeah.
Educating.
It's love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so dope to see that. Like, I would love to do something like that. Like, I can see that, like, right up my alley to where, like, I would love to sit and, like, make a whole EP full of guzzles. Like, that would be so dope. And my dad would love that, you know, because he played tabla with Ghulam Ali when he came to Dallas. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
That's sick,
man.
Yeah. So we are a big guzzle family.
Ghulam Ali. Wow.
Shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm going to do.
You do whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
You do whatever you want. Just, all right. Yeah. Just get a little right closer here? To the mic. Yeah.
Can I move this?
Yeah. You can. You want me to?
I'll record it. I'll send it to you if you want it. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want me to move the mic?
Can you still hear me like this?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's good?
Yeah. That's
okay. ਵੇ ਕਾਲਾ ਕਾਲਾ ਸੂਟ ਦੁੱਧ ਵਰਗੀ ਜਵਾਨੀ ਭਰੀ ਨਾਜ਼ੀ ਦੇ ਯਾਰ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਹੁਸਨ ਰਾਨੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਨਖਰੇ ਦੀ ਫੇਮ ਚਾਰੇ ਗੂੰਜਦੀ ਹੈ ਰਾਉਂਡ ਵੇ ਬੱਟਾ ਲਿਓ ਫਲੋਰ ਘੁੰਮਟਾ ਲਿਓ ਬੋਰ ਕਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਚੱਕ ਵੇ ਗੀਤ ਕੱਢੇ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਬੈਕ ਤਾਂ ਚਾਟਾਂ ਉੱਤੇ ਲਾਈ ਰੱਖੇ ਡੇਰੇ ਵੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰੀ ਵਾਖਿਆ ਵੇਖੇ ਕਲਾਕਾਰ ਮੈਂ ਬਥੇਰੇ ਵੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰੀ ਵਾਖਿਆ ਮਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਅੰਬਰਸਰ ਤੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਤੇਰੀ ਕਲਾਕਾਰੀ ਵਾਖਿਆ
Whoa, man.
You killed it.
So dope. Thank you.
I wish people would be in here with us to feel the full punch of that. Yes.
Vocals like that.
Because it just hits. It just hits. Yeah, like, thank you.
I did too. I got nervous.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
No, thank you. That was incredible.
This was like, There's another podcast, Frequency and Friends, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they always have like some, you know, like artists sing on mm-hmm. there. And this was like one of the things I was looked at as a podcast. Have an artist and have them like sing and like, man, thank you so much.
That was incredible. Blessed it. Like I said, I wish people could be here and feel that like we did. Like, it was different. Because I've been around just, I'll be honest, male singers, but I have sat in a room with this, like with Gurliz, like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Right? But this was very good because you're a different, more like us. You're more, but you're more like us. You know, like me. But you got that element. So that's so cool. That's so dope, man. Wow. Keep it going.
That's cool. That's cool that you're like, I mean, like pushing that step, like you're like looking to do it like that.
I do. I think that we need more of it. I think we need more females in the industry because there's so many, like, there's so many girls that are such good singers. Mm-hmm. Even folk, you know, like there's a lot of girls that sing folk that just don't want to like take that step into becoming as seen.
I think, I think also some people do and they're maybe also not seen.
There is there's my friend Cushy from London. She is such a good singer. She is y'all should go check her out. She does folk as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's her tag? Like,
man, her Instagram handle is
I'm still goosebumps.
Dude, shaking.
I'm still like, yeah. I think my BP went up.
Yeah, you got to hear it three times.
I don't have my watch on that checks it. That mother watch checks it.
This is Cushy Core.
Okay.
Yeah. K H X S H I. But man, I think we just need more women. That's all I want.
So if there's an artist you can work with, male or female, like that, like a dream artist you always wanted to work with.
Yeah.
Like, could be any style of Punjabi music.
Yeah.
Who would it be?
Karan Aujla.
Oh,
that was one of the rapid fire questions. So that's.
Oh, shit, my bad. Why don't you start the rapid fire?
Oh, you're good. You're good. Yeah, that was one of them.
Okay, let's do that. Actually.
So there's that. I lost my train of thought. Any artist, producer, anybody that you would want us to have on next? Who would it be?
I think. Man, I can't really think.
This one always trips people up, but yeah, we like to ask.
You got to help us out too.
Who would you want to see on a pod?
I think you should do Fateh, because I think he's worked with like a lot. He's worked with
Simmer.
He's worked with Dr. Zeus. Dr. Zeus, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think he's been in the game for such a long time.
He's in the Bay now too, I think, right?
I met him. He was at the Mephil show in San Jose. I actually met him and I told him about the podcast. Funny you bring him up. Yeah. And he was like, he basically said that he's releasing new music soon and he's going to go on like a media tour or whatever.
Okay.
So he told me to shoot him an email. Like, I did. Balls in your court, Fateh.
Come on. I think he's done a lot. He's done very different types of music. That'd be interesting to know like how he got started and all that stuff.
He used to play Dole with me. Well, we learned from the same guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's right. Like, he's been, like, deep in it.
He's been in it since when I started.
His days. His family, I think, is also, like, they're, like, artists, too.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. He has, like, he actually has a podcast with Frequency and Friends, I think.
Oh.
And he goes through it, like why he moved to, like, Canada and stuff. Mm. Yeah, but I think his family comes from, like, they're artists, like, poetry, I believe.
Maybe, yeah. I'm not sure.
That's story. Really interesting. Yeah. See, that'd be cool to know, you know? I think you should do another female on here for sure. Yeah. Maybe Simmer.
Definitely.
Maybe Simmer.
Is she from Cali?
She's from Canada, I think. Yeah.
We will not hesitate to reach out to literally anybody. From there, it's
only
us. We're trying to pull away from being virtual. We wanted to get this kind of vibe. Right? Virtual is tough.
As much as like we can push. Like,
that's
push
why I didn't want to do virtual. Yeah. I was like, I need to get the feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because imagine me singing on the camera. No,
it doesn't hit. Doesn't hit.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as electrifying as like in person.
In person, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, no, we're so glad that we got to have you on.
Yeah.
So glad that we got to make this happen. I think we're good, right?
Yeah. We want to be the guys that say, keep the pedal on the metal, you know what I mean? To the metal. Like, keep it going. Don't stop.
I am very excited for this year. Yeah. I have a lot of stuff.
Good.
Like, we're 100%. After you saying that, we're 100%. I mean, we were already supporters. I mean,
Thank you. It's there, so don't keep it going, man. Yeah,
don't stop.
There's no point in stopping.
Yeah.
All gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're to E40.
Thanks, guys. No problem. This was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah.